This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo! Yo! How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, man. No problems.
Good. Glad to hear it. Sorry, I'm trying to reboot the TV over here. Yeah. Every day of baseball app freezes. Well, it's his TV's fault. It's not the baseball's app's fault. You've been betting? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I got my wager in.
I'm trying to figure out when the game is.
We play the A's. So it's either early or late, depending on where it's at. I'm just not sure where it's at.
I still don't totally understand how they do the schedules. Like on, seems like on Mondays, most of the games are at night. And then, I don't know. I can't make sense of it. There's so many games. All right, I know we can't watch the Royals. The nice thing for you is that you've got your team set on the app as
the Tigers. Always comes up.
And you can watch them whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If that's only nice. This TV thought that we weren't in Kansas City.
Yep.
I tell you that I think I figured out the... We talked about the whole VPN and, you know, illegal thing that no one should try.
Right.
But people have tried where you get the MLB app and then say you're somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
When I'd heard that people have problems with that. When I looked into it, it was because... They said you have to have location sharing. So it's not just using the VPN. It's like the device itself needs to be able to. Now, I don't know if that's true, but maybe that's why people have a hard time with it. I'm still considering just
no day games today, they say.
Okay, so that's why. There you go. No day games. Well, you just have to wait, my friend.
It's fine.
Just have to wait. We watched the highlights from last night on a loop.
Yeah.
I was running errands, and I kid you not. I saw at a bar the Royals game was on, and they had a huge TV like on the patio, and I stopped the car, like I pulled up sort of close, and I kind of stopped the car, and I just watched it for a second, and I thought, I could just go in there.
Well, why didn't you have a beer?
Eat something and watch the game, you know what I mean? And then I was like, I don't like doing stuff alone. I'll just listen to it on the radio and go home.
You don't like going to the bar alone?
I mean, I can do some things alone. Going in and like eating alone, you know?
At the bar, watching a game? That's pretty easy.
I know. It used to be easier. I don't know why.
If you sit at the bar.
Yeah, I don't know. I just decided, at least... I know now that they show the games here.
Yeah, and maybe try
I should,
it.
I should consider going out and watching
the
game.
Be a big girl. Go out there and get it done. Go watch the Royals. Be like, hey, Royals game's on, huh? And sit down, get yourself a burger and a beer. Nobody will think anything about it.
I know. I forget about it. I bitch about not being able to watch the Royals. But it's like, you know, a lot of people just go out and watch them. How are you? You've had baseball nonstop every day.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
So Monday night's my oldest plays.
Yeah.
So last night I had to go out to
Lee's
Summit. Right. He played a doubleheader last night. Tonight my youngest has practice, so I got him into practice. Wednesday my oldest will play again. Thursday my youngest has practice, and then some formulation of Friday, Saturday, Sunday they'll play. So I have baseball 7 days a week.
Why were you? I think you were saying that this last weekend there was a tournament for your youngest.
My youngest played in a tournament. He had a doubleheader on Friday. Then another team asked him to guest play for them on Saturday. So he played two on Saturday and then played Sunday.
So he played five games over the weekend.
Yeah, he
two
played five games. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Is that normal for those leagues?
Well, no.
I thought the tournament stuff would be like at the end of the year when you're trying
No, they play every weekend. So they do tournaments every weekend. So you're guaranteed, I think, at least three.
Okay. That's a lot for kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're
in sometimes
school.
You play three in one day.
He's 13.
No, he's 14.
14 now. That's mm-hmm. right. Happy birthday. He's 14. Your oldest is 17. They're still in school. Like, that just seems like a lot. But maybe it's, I don't know, it's probably good for
them.
Well,
I asked him. I was like, you know, because he would have had Saturday off.
Yeah.
And the guy called me and said, hey, you know, does Nico want to play, you know, Saturday with us? And I asked him. He's like, yeah.
I mean, he does. He enjoys it.
Yeah.
I could see your 17-year-old. I guess that's an age more likely to have some friends say they want to do something someday,
right,
and
yeah.
he's like, oh, I'd like to. I've got a right. game, you know, and then maybe that's the age where you go, you start to get torn. I remember that.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
like with work,
sure.
having to go to work, and I had friends that wanted to do stuff, and I was like, God, I work a lot, you know.
Well, I don't think he's at the point where he doesn't want to. He is at the point where he's not going to just do anything you ask.
Yeah.
Right? Like, not at 13 and 14. You know what I mean? They're like, well, you know, you could play on this team. He's like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm good.
Doesn't have to do it.
Mm-mm.
Right. Well, I'm excited to hang out with you guys today. We have some.
Yeah, we also talk about
news.
Snowcone. He's leaving.
Yeah, some news to share here. Snowcone's.
His last day will be Friday, so we need someone to replace him.
He's already got a foot out the door.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do?
Find someone else?
Yeah. It'll be tough. Can't replace him, but you can try to find someone else.
Why can't
But you can't replace. I'm just saying he's irreplaceable. You'll never find another snowcone. You
well,
have to
no,
agree
you
with that.
You will.
You. I mean, maybe you could, but it would be very hard to find someone like him.
Oh, I would agree with that.
If you wanted someone that just made you feel like nothing's changed, we're still on the same, it would be very hard.
Well, let's just say, like, the shoes you have to fill are not very big. They're just, you know, you could get here on time.
And they're hand-me-downs.
And show up a little bit, you know.
Yeah. 65, I would say 75% of the time.
If you showed up 90% of the time and just did stuff, it'd be awesome. Be awesome. Like, we'd be like, holy Christ.
Right, but that would be
struck gold here.
Right. That would be a big mm-hmm. shift for us, is
right,
what I'm
yeah.
saying.
The
Church
of Laszlo. Yo.
Yo.
All right, things we should and shouldn't say.
No. Just shouldn't. I don't have the things that you should say. I don't know. Like I said, that's probably a different article, and I'm sure you can find it quite easily. But the things, I know you had a line. It was, do you surf, bro, or do you even surf? Or am I close, Snow Cone? I think it's do you even surf.
Do you even surf. Surf, yeah.
Do you even surf.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all discussed the line that Aziz Ansari had on his TV show, hey, I'm swinging by Whole Foods. Want me to grab you anything while I'm there? That's a good line.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was on a TV show, so I don't know, though.
Most people don't know it.
Most people probably didn't know it, so you could have used that and gotten away with it. It's a pretty good one. So these are the things that they say women don't like and probably won't help you any. The worst things you can say. I'll just do the 20 worst, okay? First one is, so, how long you been single?
What?
Okay. What's wrong with that? I mean, it's boring, I guess, kind of, but it's. I don't know, does it put you in an awkward position? I really don't know. The next one is, we would have beautiful children, or you and I would make beautiful babies. For a first message, that's probably...
Depends on how they take it, though. It could be seen as, you know...
Playful?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's one of those things, too. I wonder if people send stuff like that, and they think, I got this great line, I say this, I don't know how well it works, but I know it's a great line.
Right, yeah.
And they don't realize that it's being sent a lot. You know, like, what are the lines that are being sent a lot? This is a weird one to send as a first message, but I would treat you right. Just so you know, I would treat you right.
I think if I were to get a message from a girl that said, I would treat you right, I would immediately think you won't.
Yeah, it could be a
right. Like, you're being very out in the, like, I feel like that's projection.
Right.
And you're not going to.
Yeah, it's a weird one to send as a first message, yeah. That's for sure. Now, if the other person, if you've been chatting for a while, the other person complaining about their previous boyfriend.
Yeah, it still seems weird to say, but...
It's a little weird, but it's less weird than
I guess it's weird for me to say because I know that I wouldn't. So, yeah. Like, if I say, like, I would treat you right, I know. Like, as I'm typing it, I'm like, I'm lying.
Right.
I'm lying.
I don't really even understand the next one because it is as a first message, but it says, man, I bet you get a lot of messages. What does that mean? We matched.
Yeah,
if we
match,
then you're supposed to message me, right? I'll bet you get a lot of messages
saying
you're good looking. Right. So why is that so bad? What is that? I don't know. Maybe it's just really common. How about this one? You look like trouble. Apparently not supposed to say that. I think that's not half bad. You look like trouble. That's not the worst on here.
I just saw something on Instagram. I think it was like one of those ladies who give self-help or whatever.
Yeah.
It was like, guys, if a woman says these things to you, then she wants to sleep with you.
Okay.
And one of them was, you look like trouble.
Well, there you go. So if this was coming from a woman, it would be great.
Yeah.
Men aren't supposed to say it.
And I was like, but all of it was pretty obvious. I'm like, yeah, if I'm talking to a girl and she's like, I think you could get me in trouble. I'm like, well, there's only one trouble we're talking about. Like, I can pick up on that. I'm not great at picking up on context clues, but I think I could pick up on that. Like, it's either that or you wanted to rob a bank?
Right, yeah.
Which one were you talking about? Because I'm guessing it was, you know, if we have a couple more drinks, you're going to do something you wouldn't normally do.
Yeah. Seems reasonable. I don't know. Apparently, they don't like this one either. Also, please, Snow Cone, as someone who's used these apps, probably more than Lazo or myself, if you've used any of these as a first line, please let us know. But
okay,
I don't understand this one. What's your Instagram? Now, is that just because you're asking for more pictures of her before you've even really started a conversation, so she doesn't like that, I assume? But I could also, you know, I could see that being the fourth or fifth message easily. I mean, maybe not the first, but it seems reasonable. I don't know how many pictures are on an average dating profile, but I would like to see more before I invest a bunch of time. What's your phone number? I don't know. We've already matched. Maybe you just don't want me texting you.
I guess you're supposed to, like, talk for a while before you get phone numbers. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So, tell me, why are you single? Why are you single? That's not a great first message. Why are you single?
I
mean, you know. You say, like, you're so beautiful, hard to believe you're single. You know, okay, but just why are you single?
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do any of that.
No, I mean, I'd stay away from all of it, but just
I like, do you even
why are you
surf,
single?
Bro?
That's a good one.
Do you even surf, bro?
The Whole Foods one is great, too. I like both of those. You're the woman of my dreams. Come on, Snow Cone, you've done that late at night. You've told someone first message, like, you're the girl of my dreams.
I have not.
You've not?
No.
You've not said you're like an angel, you're like the woman of my dreams?
No.
Nothing like that?
I never had like an opening line. It was just, hey.
We'll get to that.
You're going
to
say hey?
Well, I don't know, like, hi, how's it going?
Yeah, I think that's on.
I never had like a line.
I'm here for a good time, not for a long time.
No, just right bumper sticker.
Right.
I like that. Like, you know, if only outlaws had guns, then only guns would be outlawed. I don't know. Just start doing those, right?
Yeah. I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
My child's an honor student. Okay.
Tell me why we should date. Boy, I would think at that point she's going to whatever it's called, unmatch with you immediately.
Yeah, if somebody, I'd be like, what? If someone messaged me that, I'd be like, we shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we just shouldn't.
No, this is the kind of person that you are. You know, I don't want to say it, but...
I get it. Like, they probably would. Like, somebody would probably respond and be like, here's the reasons why, and this is why I'm a good person, and these are the things that I have going on. Somebody would probably respond to that, and you might, you know, hit it off. But if you ask me it, I'm like, man, probably should. Like, literally, it's way too much work. I don't want to think about it. And second... I probably can't give you a good reason.
Right. Let's talk first and
get
to whatever. How about this one? You remind me of my ex. That's just a weird thing to say, you know? She doesn't know your ex, presumably. You remind me of my ex is kind of a weird thing to say. The next one I like because it's direct. You free tonight? Now that's one that I would send. I can't imagine that I wouldn't. What are you up to tonight? You free tonight? That's my instinct, is to say something like that. I don't have a clever line, like Aziz Ansari. So I would say, what are you up to tonight? Are you free tonight? Well, is that just too direct? Is it too early? I don't know. What are you up to is number 7. I mean, so we're right here in my sweet spot. I never usually message first, but...
In your case.
Yeah, apparently that doesn't work. Don't use any pickup lines like you find online, you know. hey, are you from Ireland? Because right now the size of my package is Dublin. You know, stuff like that. They don't like that.
Okay, I've never heard that. And
it's stupid.
It's horrible.
It's horrible, yeah. So don't use those ever because they don't think it's funny and it doesn't work. According to this, I don't know. Number three, we're in the top three now. How are you? What's wrong with that? How are you? How's it going? Like,
I feel like that's, I don't know.
That's standard etiquette, is it not?
I would think so.
How are you? I mean, what the hell do you want me to say? How are you seems fine. Hi, how are you?
Yeah, that seems...
I don't understand this. Number two is you up. Now, I may not have ever been on a dating app, but I have sent that text to people before, you up. And so it may even be like, you know, one or two in the morning and I had just said like, yo, or something. But something like that. You out, you up,
yeah.
What's up? Usually, probably what's up, something like that. But you know by what time it is.
Of course.
Exactly what this is. And I'm only messaging it to someone who has already come over to my place
well, you had to do it at one time.
Exactly.
The first time.
Yeah, well, I mean, like for me, I had a couple of instances where girls had messaged me and said like, hey, I think they might have even said, you up. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm at my apartment. And they came over late at night. Well, once they came over late at night like that, one of them came over late at night after the bar closed.
The bandit on our Twitch, twitch.tv/Churchill Adams, said, hey, girl, are you from Mississippi? Because you're the only miss who's pissed I want a sippy.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I like that.
Don't use it, though.
Why?
It says not to use it.
If
I don't know.
If you don't like that, then.
It's number four on the list of things not to say. And number one thing that you're not supposed to say on a dating app, messaging, is hey or hi.
Okay.
Well, what the hell do you want me to say? So I can't say hey or
hi. What are you
supposed to say? Can't say how are you. I can't say, what are you up to? I can't be funny with a funny pickup line. What do you want me to say? Yeah, now I feel like I need to find another article and figure out what the hell I'm supposed to say. Because I feel like we've covered all the bases here. I can't be sarcastic funny. I can't use this, you know, the cheesy pickup line is obvious. I can't just say hi. So what am I supposed to say? Am I supposed to write her a poem?
A sonnet.
I guess. Is that what I'm supposed to do? What else do you say, Snowcone, other than hey or hi?
I don't know.
That's what I'm asking. What have you ever said anything other than that, basically?
Always, hey, how's it going? Or hey, how's your night? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. There's and
or
is there
a response to like something they put like in their bio? You know what I mean?
Oh, like I like to go mudding too. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Be honest. Is there a thing that you send that you tend to send after you've had a few white claws where you go, damn it, I send that type of message every time I have too many claws. I wouldn't have sent it if
no.
I was sober.
And it's been a while since I've been on those apps, but I never had like a wake up the next day like, damn it, I shouldn't have said
that. I used that
line. On those apps. It's been text or whatever, but never like on those apps.
Okay. And when you're on the app, is there like a fear of messaging this person after you've matched? Because you don't know what to say, or do you just automatically, once you've matched, if it's Tinder or whatever, you just say, hi, hey, how's it going? Because you already matched, so.
No, there was never like a fear, no.
Right, you don't have to get drunk or anything like that. Yeah, you already matched, that's what I would think. So, I guess don't say hi, for God's sake. I mean, that's the worst thing. Go with Laszlo's.
Yeah, you even surf, bro.
That's it.
Just do something that doesn't make any sense, you'll be fine.
I guess so, because it wouldn't be on this list. The pickup line about Mississippi is pretty good, too. I mean, they said don't use cheesy pickup lines, but that one is.
Not bad.
Not bad.
And, you know, it lets everybody know where you are.
Yes, true.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
The news. Mm-hmm. Well, we mentioned it a second ago, but J.D. Vance, he's the vice president of the United States. He was meeting with the Buckeyes from the Ohio State University because they won the something. What was that?
They won the national championship.
Oh, yeah, national championship.
They did lose the game to Michigan.
That's what
Yeah. But they won the national championship.
Yeah, but they lost the game to Michigan.
Yeah. So does that mean Michigan wins the extra super national championship, or just means they have bragging rights because they beat the team?
It
doesn't
mean they beat the national champion.
No. Does it mean that Ohio State was saving some of their, you know, best plays and best players for the big game?
I don't think they save them against Michigan.
I think they
try to beat them.
Well, I know Michigan had a slow start this year, so I didn't know if they thought.
I mean, they did, but I mean, they're not so bad they can't beat Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Well, anyhow, Ohio State won the national championship, and so they went to the White House. Did Michigan go to the White House too?
Since they beat the year Ohio before State? When they won it.
Mm, okay. So
and they went undefeated that year.
Yeah.
So because they beat Ohio State on their way to the national championship. Look, I get it, Ohio State fans. It's hard to go undefeated and win a national championship. I mean, it's not impossible. Clearly.
Sure. Clearly not.
Clearly not. But, I mean, it's hard. I get it.
Yeah. Well, when you win, you get to go to the White House, I guess, you know.
And the vice president's from Ohio.
And the vice president's from Ohio. He's an Ohio State fan.
A graduate.
A graduate, yes, and fan. And he made a mistake because while they're all there, they're doing the photo ops, the cameras are rolling, J.D. Vance tries to pick up the trophy, and it's a big trophy. I mean, that thing is a substantial trophy. One of the bigger trophies for you know, sports championship. But he's having trouble picking it up from the very beginning. He tries like picking it up. It's too heavy. He starts kind of sliding it backwards off the table. As I'm watching him, because I know the story is that he drops this thing, I'm sweating the whole time. Like, what are you doing? Come on, stop. Quit sliding it. And eventually he slides it off the table, and it literally like comes apart. The top separates from the bottom. The bottom of it falls. And, you know, kind of
the Ohio State Buckeyes football team paid a visit to the White House yesterday in honor of their national championship won back in January. But one moment in particular getting a lot of attention. Near the end of the event, Vice President J.D. Vance attempted to pick up the championship trophy, and the vice president fumbled the football. Trophy separated from its base. Bottom half slipped out of Vance's hands onto the ground. Fortunately, the Buckeyes running back Travion Henderson was there to catch the trophy. And it's all back in place.
Now, Vance tweeted about it afterwards.
What did he say?
He X'd about it afterwards. He said he didn't want anyone else to have that trophy other than Ohio State, so he broke it. Hmm. So, you know.
Okay.
I guess so they wouldn't want it or whatever. Hmm. There you go. Ba-dum-bump. That's embarrassing. I mean, look, embarrassing things happen in life, and especially if you're in front of the camera a lot. If you are a public figure like the vice president, you're bound to trip and people see you or whatever it is. It's so unimportant. The trophy's fine. It's just one of those things that for him, I'm sure, even as powerful as he is, he's thinking for hours like, oh my God, I can't believe I dropped
that trophy.
Especially
this is his moment in the sense that he's a graduate. Like, he is. An alumni.
This is exciting for him. Yeah,
I mean, his guys are there. Like, this, you know, he's an Ohio State fan.
Yeah, he's not. You're right. He's not just going through the motions and trying to be
Tennessee's
polite.
There, whatever.
Yeah,
and
you're right. He's exciting. This is a big deal for him. And then that happens. So, I mean, look, the people watching, we're all just like, oh, that sucks, dude. But for the person that it happens to, I'm sure it lingers, and he probably doesn't want to watch it again. Now, Lazo was texting me last night because he was watching the draft. I was not watching the draft because I had stuff going on. But if you haven't heard yet, everyone was wondering where Paige was going to end up.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Now,
what draft?
The WNBA.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. You texted me about this. I thought that meant that you were watching it. Sorry. Anyhow, if you didn't hear the news by now, you must be living under a rock.
With the first pick in the 2025 WNBA draft, the Dallas Wings select Paige Beckers, University of Connecticut.
We go, Paige Beckers.
Paige Beckers. Good. They should draft them based on how hot they are. That, if I ran a team, that's what I would do, and then I'd have the hottest team in the WNBA, and you could sell tickets just
start a calendar?
Yes, have a calendar, even if they're not, you know, very good because you put together kind of a lopsided organization on the court. Still, you can sell calendars, all that. Yeah, and you could put asses in the seats.
It's a
strategy.
No,
it's a strategy.
It is. It is.
And not to say that they couldn't do it for men's sports, too. You know, get ladies to be more interested in whatever it is by putting the best-looking guys, I guess.
No, that's true.
Yeah, they could. I'm just thinking it because I was watching as a guy, and I saw all these women, and I was like, oh, I would pick her. She's hot. You know, because I don't know a lot of these women.
Are there a lot of hot girls in the WNBA draft?
Well, you know, it's what you'd expect. Yeah,
so
for
no.
sure. It's about what you'd expect. You know, they can't all be, what's her name, Snowcone?
Caitlin Clark?
No, Caitlin Clark was on the list, but
Sophie
something.
Cunningham.
So they can't all be Sophie Cunningham. They say she's the sexiest.
She's the sexiest WNBA star?
Yeah, that's what something said earlier, sexiest WNBA star.
That girl from New York is attractive.
Yeah, they had other people on
Who's
there.
Who's got the shoes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess she's a big star.
Yeah, they had Caitlin Clark on there, too. I
thought she looked good when she was with
Taylor Swift. Yeah. I thought she was a pop star.
And I know, ladies, you're going to be like, oh, you guys, they're athletes. You shouldn't be talking about how they look. Look, we talk about how good Tom Brady is.
I talk about it a lot.
And I'm surprised that Garoppolo is not better because he's so goddamn good looking.
He looks like a
statue. My God, you are a god, dude. Why do you suck?
Yeah, he should just be in movies because he could easily. Yeah, we do talk about that a lot. We talk about Brady's looks a lot. We were just talking about Brady's looks. Look, the guy's retired, and we were just talking about his looks, I think last week or week before. So, you know, check the archives. These are things that we discussed.
Yeah, sure.
And it matters. Yeah. It matters.
By the way, I love that Colin Cowherd commercial where he talks about it.
I don't know.
There's a commercial that they run on, like, Fox Sports or something, and he's like, talking to the dry cleaner. And it's like, you know, the commercial is basically like Colin Cowherd talks sports to anybody. But he's like, why are all quarterbacks good looking? Because when you're young, the good looking guy shows up at practice and you're like, hey, take the football. We like good looking people.
Yeah, that's
true. We enjoy good looking people. So you're like, oh, look, you're a good looking dude. You bet you're a quarterback. Give him the ball. You're a pitcher, right?
Yeah.
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 When the ugly guy or the kid who's overweight, you're like, oh, be a lineman.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, I've heard people say, like, well, obviously he's got good genes, you know, good looking, athletic, and there could be something to that. But I'm with you on that one. I think a lot of it has to do with when they start picking those teams, when they go out there, they have the confidence too. What confidence comes with good looks a lot of times.
Of course, you're good looking. Doesn't hurt. You go to your first baseball practice, like, who can pitch? Like, I can. You know why? Because I could do anything because I'm hot.
Yep.
I don't even know what that means at this point, but I know everyone likes me.
Yep. You know, a good example of that, well, I mean, there's tons of them, but Bryce Harper, he's a good-looking guy. Don't you think he's a good-looking guy?
There's a lot of good-looking baseball players.
There's a lot of good-looking baseball players. Bryce Harper definitely has that look that some women are into. There's women I've heard say, like, this is the kind of guy I like with the beard. And you know, and Bryce Harper, I'm like, well, that's your guy. He made the news because he did a gender reveal, did a gender reveal with his baseball bat. You know, they had a pink bat ready, and his wife's pregnant, and they had both colors ready, and they handed him the blue bat, and that was a gender reveal. Now, I don't remember gender reveals being a thing, man, like 10 years ago. Or maybe we've been at about 10 years now, something like that. And then they started to become a thing. I feel like everybody now must do some sort of gender reveal. Not everyone lights a field on fire.
I thought when I saw that he was going to hit a ball. I did, because you've seen the baseball players do it with just the bat.
Yeah, you could have a ball.
I mean, once it happened, I was like, of course it wasn't the ball. But when they're like, Bryce Harper, I was like, when? What's he, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But it was, you know, it was clever, whatever.
Bryce Harper is ready to take another swing at fatherhood. The Philadelphia Phillies slugger used a blue bat in his first plate appearance against San Francisco Monday night, and it was part of a gender reveal for his fourth child. His teammate Trey Turner was in on it. Turner had both a pink and a blue bat ready to go before he went up to bat and eventually handed him the blue one.
I mean, I'm just looking at pictures of Bryce Harper here right now. Just images. He is a good-looking guy. So don't say that we don't talk about male athletes being good-looking. And, you know, like I said, he's a specific kind of good-looking, but that's a good-looking guy. There are a lot of good-looking people in
professional sports. Speaking of the colors of bats, maybe before you leave, Snow Cone, you could try to get something done. And one of the things that...
What is that for?
Well, it's a request. Like, maybe before you leave, you could try to get something done. Like, Bobby Witt has a new bat coming out. It's a metal bat, and it's called Bobby Blue.
Oh.
And it's by Victus. See if, you know, email some of those people in the building and see if they can get us a couple.
Are they going to be expensive?
Yeah, I think so. They're Victus Cran bats, but they're coming out like in the next couple days. I saw Bobby Witt do it, and they're blue. Bobby Blue bats.
Victus Pro Crayon Youth.
All right.
Locked in the vault. It's going to be $220 according to this thing.
Well, I'm sure they're going to have the Royals are going to have them.
Pro Crayon Youth Bobby Blue. I mean, does this look like the right one? It does look cool.
It's just a crayon one, but it's Bobby Blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Find one, Snow Cone.
You can find one, can't you?
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Talk to one of those.
See, look, he doesn't even. He's like, yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah.
Talk to one of those salespeople.
Okay.
Talk to one of the salespeople who deals with the Royals and say, hey.
Or one of the people who works at the sports station who carries the Royals.
Or that guy that you had that you were going to get on the podcast who, what did he do at the Royals?
Didn't
he deal with he was the equipment manager? I mean, that would be a good guy, right?
Yeah. Try somebody.
Some of these people.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Well, the rest of the news. Did you hear that somebody else showed up at, I guess Luigi didn't show up at the United Healthcare campus, but somebody else was maybe trying to attack United Healthcare workers. A guy showed up at the campus there in Minnesota and was arrested by the FBI. Did you see this?
No.
He had a gun on him. And, you know, of course, they suspect that this could be copycat stuff.
Police say the man was apprehended just outside United Healthcare campus in Hopkins, Minnesota. They say he was booked on suspicion of threats. At this point, no word on whether there is a connection to United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson's murder back in December here in New York City.
Well, we do know now who this guy is. Here's a picture of him. His name's Ian Stanley Wagner. That's the guy that showed up at the United Healthcare campus.
He's not as good looking as Luigi.
No, he's not. It'd be harder for him to amass the same number of followers. But they did speak to his mother. His mother says that he is on the spectrum and that he's been suffering from some mental health issues, but also sounded like he did have plans to shoot his way into the campus there. You know, I remember after Luigi allegedly murdered Brian Thompson, they showed the campus on the news lot, and it was like fortified with fences and barbed wire and all that stuff. Remember that? They put those giant, it almost looked like concert fencing around, or prison fencing around the headquarters. When they showed this on the news, it did not look like they still had that fencing up. So maybe they should leave that up, you know, at least for a while longer, because it looks like the idea of copycats or imitators may still be a very real thing. And speaking of potential mental illness, that guy who blew up the governor's mansion in Pennsylvania, Cody Ballmer, we're learning more about him now. And again, we're learning more about him, just like in the previous story, from this guy's mother.
Police say Ballmer used two Molotov cocktails to start the fire. Court documents also allege Ballmer told police he harbored hatred toward the governor, adding if Shapiro found him, quote, he would have beaten him with his hammer. Officials say Ballmer fled the scene, but later turned himself in at state police headquarters. His mother telling the Associated Press her son is bipolar and schizophrenic and had stopped taking his medicine. In court, Ballmer said, quote, that's a rumor, telling the judge he doesn't suffer from mental illness.
Okay, so are you going to believe? He says he doesn't have mental illness. His mom says he's bipolar and schizophrenic. I don't know. I'll go with his mom on that one. Okay. You know, why not? Just like in the previous story, you got back-to-back moms having to speak to the press and saying, sorry, my son has mental health issues. And then you think about it, if your kid is schizophrenic and bipolar, I don't know what that looks like. I don't have like a close relative. I do know someone who is schizophrenic, but I don't know what that can look like. I know it can be scary. I know that the person that I know who has it started doing things that I never would have expected that person to do. That's for sure. And some very dangerous things that could get that person arrested, things that could get people hurt. So then you just imagine mixing that with some sort of anger media, right? We know that the guy who blew up the governor's mansion was very anti-liberal, hated Biden. I think they had a quote somewhere. They're like, you know, Biden supporters deserve to die, whatever it was. We know that he wanted to beat the governor to death with a hammer. So when you mix these things, schizophrenia, I don't know if the bipolar plays into that, but certainly the schizophrenia and then some sort of, you know, Twitter feed or YouTube algorithm or whatever, that could be scary. And as a parent, when your kid is an adult, they're in their 20s, well, now you're not monitoring what they do. Presumably, they're out on their own. I mean, you know that they have mental health issues, but what do you do? Do you alert authorities and say, hey, my son's schizophrenic, and I think he watches a lot of Alex Jones videos. Like, I mean, what do they do? I don't. And people always say, oh, well, we used to have a better system in place. I think what they're talking about is that we used to have more institutions where people were institutionalized instead of going to prison. I don't know that that's what we want necessarily, if that's a fix to the problem. I don't know what you do about the mental health epidemic, but you got to do something. I saw a thing today, Laszlo, that said the CDC released numbers on autism, and I know you're on the fence about this whole autism thing, and they said that the numbers are still on the rise, and that like in 2000, they used 8-year-olds. It was 1 out of 200 or 1 out of 300 in the year 2000 would be diagnosed as on the spectrum. Now it's like 1 out of 32. So it's a huge, 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 huge increase of kids who are on the spectrum. They say they know that part of it is better testing.
Sure, and diagnosing. Right.
And they also can look at states.
That's still a number.
It's like a huge number.
Yeah.
But they look at states and they said, like in this report, Texas had the lowest rates while California had the highest. But they said that kind of goes back to proving their point about diagnosis, because they say California has more diagnosing centers and all this stuff.
Sure.
So, you know, maybe those things go hand in hand. But I'm sure you saw RFK said, I think last week, that we're going to have it figured out by September. That made headlines
that's
last weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
I have it figured out by September, and then, you know, we'll know what to do about it. So I guess we'll just wait.
I'm excited about
Wait till September. The kid who stabbed the other kid at the track meet, and it turned now it's turned to this big divide online.
Right.
Stabbed a 17-year-old at a track meet. It was some sort of a disagreement about the stabber being in under a tent. At a track meet. I guess I think it had started to sprinkle something. I don't know, but he was under the tent and his bag was under the tent. And there was a kid from the school who said, "Hey, you don't go to the school. You can't be under this tent." And then, you know, from there it depends on who you believe. The stabber says that he was attacked by that kid and felt threatened, and so he pulled out a knife from his backpack and stabbed the attacker. Others have said that, you know, the kid just attacked him kind of unprovoked. Maybe the victim did ask him to leave. Maybe he didn't. But either way, it certainly wasn't reasonable self-defense. Well, it's turned into this big divide online. And, of course, race has been brought into it because the stabber is African-American. The victim was a white kid. So it's, you know, bound to be a story that we're going to continue to hear about for a while. And now the stabber, Carmelo Anthony, has been released on bond. And it was a reduced bond, which is what his defense attorneys were asking for, because I think originally it was $1 million.
17-year-old Carmelo Anthony, who was charged with first-degree murder in the fatal stabbing of a teen at a track meet earlier this month, is out on bond. A judge today reducing the teen's $1 million bond to $250,000 at the request of the defense.
I feel it's fair. Bond, as the judge said, is not supposed to be an instrument of oppression. It's not supposed to keep people in jail. It's not supposed to punish.
Anthony's father testifying that his son does not have a passport and that he would be surrounded by friends and family who would keep him accountable ahead of the trial.
I don't know how you decide who's a flight risk and who's not. This is a pretty high-profile case. Not having a passport, it's a reasonable thing. Got a lot of family members that'll keep an eye on him.
Being 17.
Okay, being 17, right? Makes it kind of hard to book plane tickets when you don't have a credit card. So, I would think that they could do that. And if they're that worried about it, can't you just put an ankle monitor on them? I don't know. I don't know how that works. They move it from $1 million bond to $250,000. That's still a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's be tough, you know, to come
they
up
got
with.
It, though,
but,
right?
But, well, they got a bunch of donations, right? They got these GoFundMes, or at least there was one GoFundMe that I know of for sure. And they'd raised, when we looked, what was it at when we looked a couple weeks ago? Was it over $200,000, wasn't it?
Sure.
They'd raised a lot of money. And again, that's because this has become kind of a divide. I've seen a lot of, you know, typical social media stuff, ugly stuff, on Twitter and stuff like that. Harvard is about to lose a bunch of money because Harvard has decided they are not going to do what the Trump administration has asked them to do when it comes to this list of demands that they were issued. You know, the administration sent Harvard, sent other places, lots of places, these demands about, you know, DEI and things like that. And if you don't change these things, then you're going to lose federal funding. And Harvard looked at the list of demands and, you know, decided, you know what, we're not going to do it. We're not going to let you tell us what to do. We don't think other schools should do it either. And it looks like Harvard will lose some money on this.
Posting on X, the university will not surrender its independence or relinquish its constitutional rights. Neither Harvard nor any other private university can allow itself to be taken over by the federal government. The school received a letter sent by multiple federal agencies late Friday with a long list of demands. Among them, Harvard has to eliminate DEI programs on campus and hire an independent third party to address alleged anti-Semitism at the school and ensure there is viewpoint diversity on campus.
Okay, so there's some of the demands. They said no thanks. So now $2 billion in funding has been frozen.
That's what they get.
That's what it says.
Wow.
And he's threatening their tax-exempt status. So, yeah. I don't know if frozen means until you get the demands, as long as he's president, there's no way to get around this, or... Well, but that's the last I saw. I mean, from 2 hours ago, $2 billion in funding, in federal funding, has been frozen, and he's threatening their tax exempt status, which seems like a
I like to run those numbers. You know, and I don't know how to do it, but you know, tuition at Harvard is through the roof, and you're getting $2 billion in funding. Like, how much are you guys making?
We've talked about that before. It's crazy.
Like, and I get it. Schools are expensive, and
but how expensive?
Well, that's the thing. Like before, I was kind of like, all right, well, it's $70,000 a kid. I don't know. You got to pay professors and food and dorms and upkeep, right? Like, it's way too expensive, but at least I could somehow rationalize getting there in my head, right?
Yeah. Now.
But now I'm like, wait, you're getting $2 billion?
That's just part of your funding, right? So that's part. I don't, and because you think about the money that comes from other people.
Now, is that part of what they do for research and, you know.
Yes, probably. But think about that money that comes from graduates. The people, you've talked about this, you know, those dorms are usually named after some former student who went on to become someone famous, and they donated a bunch of money to Harvard. So schools get money that way, too, especially a school like Harvard. And when we talked about this, I don't know, a year or two ago, the thing that I thought was surprising was how much money these schools have saved up. Now, maybe it's not all of them, but some of these big institutions have a lot of money saved up. And I don't know how schools work. I didn't finish school.
Right.
So I'm certainly no expert. I'm no expert really at anything. But they do seem to have a lot of money saved up. I'd be curious to see how much money Harvard has in its coffers, in a savings account, whatever. And then if something like this happens, is this when they go, this is why we needed the money? Because we don't want to stop doing whatever it is that we were doing with this federal funding, so now we're going to start taking it out of our savings account. I don't know. That's a lot of money. You could see why it would be a tough decision when you get that letter if you're like, well, we want to take a stand. Boy, but do we really want to take a stand? $2 billion. And that tax-exempt status, I mean, that seems
right.
Like a big, big, big hit if you lose that. I remember how excited Scientologists were when they got tax-exempt status. I would think losing it would be a big deal. But again, I don't know. Harvard, are they the first ones to do this? Because it's the first one I've heard of. I keep hearing these political windbags on different podcasts and the radio saying, oh, someone needs to stand up to these threats and they need to. Well, there you go. I don't know who else has done it, but there you go.
Michigan got rid of it.
Got rid of DEI?
Yeah, but they're not a private institution. So I don't even know, I'm not smart enough. I'm just speculating. I don't know that they could they?
I don't know.
Like, if you're not.
Know. Most of these places went and got rid of DEI or renamed it to try and hide it. Something. They got rid of it almost immediately. When the Elon thing started, I think a lot of these places were scared.
If you're not a private institution, can you even, you probably take some orders, right?
That's a good question. I don't know. Do you take it from the state or do you take it from the federal government?
Department of Education, which is not anymore. So, who do you get it from?
I don't know. If Elon sent me a letter personally and said, here's what you need to do, this, this, and this. I'm just telling you right now, I'm doing it.
All of them?
I'll do it. I'm no, what would that be, a martyr? I'm not sure. I'm no hero. That's for sure. Mm. I don't want to get deported. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Audited, any of it. I will do whatever you ask, and please leave me alone. I know that we need people who aren't like me.
What if he asked you where Anne Frank's hiding?
Boy. You mean anything where I don't have the answer?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah. I'll come up with something.
You knew where she was hiding, would you?
I'll come up with something.
I mean, I'm asking.
I mean, I might not want to send him to the right place, but if it's me or her, don't put me on the spot like that, Laszlo.
Church of Laszlo. Yo.
Yo. Do you think you made it? Are you upper middle class?
Nah.
Are you middle class?
Maybe.
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 What do you mean? You think you might fall below middle class? Or you think you might be upper middle class?
Well, I don't know what it is anymore. Like, I feel like I did at one point, but I'm not sure what it is anymore.
You have to be middle class. I mean, I don't know what the salary is now, but you have to be middle class. You got a house. You got a car. You live in a good school district. You've been able to maintain those things. How could that? That has to be at least middle class. Okay. I would think.
I don't know.
I'll check after this. That would be crazy. But you might be upper middle class. Seems like you don't think you are. Well, because they've done this analysis. They figured out what it takes to be upper middle class. And then they break it down. 6 signs that you've made it, even if you don't realize it. So you might think, just like you don't even know if you're middle class. Right. These are the 6 signs that you might be doing better than you think. Number 1, you are not relying on just one paycheck.
I am.
You don't live paycheck to paycheck.
I am.
Anybody here not living paycheck to paycheck? No? Okay. All right. So none of us get that one. All right. That's fine. But you don't have to get all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, there's 6 signs. You are maxing out your retirement contributions.
I'm not.
But I was on accident, remember?
I have before, but I'm not right now. But yeah.
Remember you had to show me how to turn it off because I was like, something's going wrong. I've been maxing it out. So maybe that's, That's probably not what they mean. They probably mean that you meant to do it, but, you know, you could afford to do it. And but I was doing it.
We did do it, so okay.
I
have done it before, so let's take that one. It's fine.
I think we could take that as a win, because I did it for a long time mm-hmm. without realizing it. I thought that I was at quite a bit lower percentage there. I should have checked on that a little more often. So I'm going to say that we, even though we aren't currently, we'll go ahead and say that that's one. We you invest like you mean it. You've got that AMC stock. You got that Dogecoin. You check your Robinhood app. You were talking about...
I don't invest like I mean it.
What do you mean, though?
I invest like it's a prayer.
Okay, but you... All right. You check your 401k. You invest in your 401k.
That's retirement.
Yeah. It says, you know, they talk about 401ks in here. And then they talk about you. You know, you can also go beyond your 401k. Well, but they talk about
that
here.
It feels like that's the same thing, then. If I max it out, then I mean it.
Well, that's true. I guess they say... No. Stocks and bonds provide long-term growth beyond just 401k. No. So you do have stocks, though. You can't say that you don't.
Not really.
Well, that AMC stock and that...
No, some Dogecoin I bought on Robinhood. Like,
Yeah.
Like, I'm betting. I'm gambling. And I don't really.
And we bought that...
like I own a diverse portfolio that includes, you know...
We bought
Apple
that weight loss thing. Whatever that is, that magic weight loss drug company thing, we bought
that. That never came through.
Well, you got a hold. You know that. You know that.
We do not invest
Diamond
like
hands
we need
it.
That's like having an investor. We do not do that.
And I bought some
buying $60 of some penny stock that you saw on Wall Street Bets is not investing like you mean it.
I like the penny stocks because, you know, you can buy
lot
some.
Of them, I know. That sounds like you mean it.
Yeah, that's because I do mean it. And I look to see, okay, which one of these weed-growing technologies is more likely, now that they're legalizing marijuana in certain places, you know, you think ahead. You're not just investing all willy-nilly, right? You're looking at these things and going,
praying.
This is what I want
to
invest in.
I'm
going to
put $100 on this and pray.
I invested in that electric car company that I thought was out of business after I saw it on Wall Street Bets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, made a little chunk of change.
You made like $3,000 and sold it all.
Yeah, of course.
That's not investing like you mean it. That's like hitting a parlay.
Mm. So that's the opposite of investing like you mean it. Okay. But I mean, you could not invest at all. I don't know. They talk about if you have alternative investments like crypto and stuff like that. Buying land. You bought any land recently? Do you have any rental properties? Because that could qualify you for this one. All right. So we get another X on that one. Number four. You can afford to help pay someone else to manage your money. You guys do that.
Not much.
Yeah, but you pay somebody. Okay. I know you do. You have a financial guy, both of you. So now here, Snowcone gets a check mark too for the upper middle class. Because, I mean, that guy's been managing your money for a little while now, right?
I haven't given him money in a long time.
He's a nice guy. He brought pizza in here.
Nice guy.
Oh, you're supposed to like pay him, like remember to pay him?
He takes out money every month and I just quit.
Oh, I got you.
I'm like, I need that money.
Oh, so it's like me when I said, show me how to stop contributing so much to my 401k. Okay, well, so we'll put that as a half a check mark there. But that's two for you. Number five, you can take vacations without breaking the bank.
Okay, I can do that.
You can do that. Mm-hmm. You can take a vacation. I mean, it doesn't, you know,
say
where you're
going. Well, I mean, it depends on the vacation, but...
It says the average family vacation is over $7,000.
Oh, no, I'm not spending that much.
Seems like a lot to me, but I don't have a family. So when they say family vacation, I just assume, wow, kids must be really expensive.
That's an expensive vacation.
Seems like it. They say that's the average family vacation cost. It's actually over $7,000. So if you take multiple trips a year without stressing... Then you are in a solid financial position.
Then I'm not doing that. So, those aren't the vacations we're taking.
We're talking $14,000 a year.
I just went to Fort Myers, Florida, and we went and ate crab. And, you know what I mean? Like, it felt like we did it pretty big.
Yeah.
It wasn't $7,000.
Yeah, that seems like a lot. I mean, I don't know how many kids you have
to
have.
But... You know, say even the flights are expensive, $400 each. That's $1,200. Then you get a hotel room for a week.
Yeah.
You know, you're still, now let's just say even at, $250 a night, you're at $2,200.
It's
right
it's,
now. What else?
You I mean, got a long ways to go.
I got $4,000 more to spend in that week.
Well, maybe if you bought tickets to like Universal Studios with a VIP package,
I get it, but
thing.
Still, $7,000 is quite
it's
a bit.
It's a lot. It's a lot. It seems crazy to me that that's the average family vacation. That's according to Finance Buzz. They say that's where they got that. Over 7,000 as the average family vacation. I just can't believe that the average American family has over $7,000 to spend on a vacation.
I mean, I'm sure they do save for it. I get it.
Yeah, some.
It just seems like, I don't know. I guess my thing is like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, is it trips to the Bahamas and all-inclusive resorts that we're talking? Europe? Like, it must be that.
But that wouldn't be an average family vacation, right?
Maybe it is. I think I'm treating my kids well, and they're like, no, that ain't it.
But we look at how much money people make and how many people, you know, when you break it down by the percentages and how many people are doing well versus how many people are doing okay, and then how many people are really struggling. It seems like that number at the bottom with people struggling is a hell of a lot bigger than the number of people there at the top that are doing really well. Over $7,000 for a family vacation. Sounds like a hell of a lot of money. Now, I know most families would probably charge that. So they put it on credit cards and they pay it back. Okay. So they are stressing about it, which is, you know, not what this thing's saying. This thing's saying you could just go into your savings account. But still, for a family to charge over $7,000 for family vacation seems like a lot. But maybe they do. I mean, I don't know. They did the research. But then the final one. So we'll put an X on that one because I don't think any of us are doing $7,000 vacation. Snowcone did one once. Took a limo down to, where'd you take a limo down to? Was it Orlando?
Fort Lauderdale.
A limo to Fort Lauderdale. And that was a big, you know, his dad was a wealthy inventor. And at that time, I think he had just sold one of his inventions. Was that the timing of that? I remember you telling me at one point that one of those stories you told us was because he had just sold maybe the funnel maker, and that's when he was doing really well and he was throwing money around a little bit. But that wasn't the trip? That's just how he lived? Nope. That's just how he rolled? Huh. I don't know what that was.
I mean, I did a vacation planner and budgeted it out for a week to drive from here to Denver and go to Red Rocks and a Rockies game. I mean, all in, it has it at about $2,400.
That seems, one, like a lot of money, and two, much more believable.
So, like, if I was going to go 2 weeks, it'd still only be $5,000.
Yeah, I don't know. Over $7,000.
And it's not like, I mean, the 7 days is staying at, I mean, I didn't do the Hyatt Centric downtown Denver.
Okay.
Walking distance to Rocky Stadium.
Okay.
So it's not like, you know, I don't know if it's the nicest hotel there, but right? I mean.
Yeah. Well, over 7,000 is just not. I told you, my parents, we drove to like Gettysburg and stuff. So I'm sure they put something on. When we went, we did go to Disney World once, and I'm sure they put that on credit cards. But God, I can't imagine that it cost even whatever the inflation equivalent was at the time was over $7,000. Then the final one is that
I could see Disney being that much for sure.
Yeah, if you got three or four kids
and you're staying on the property. Yeah, I mean, I could see that
being over. If you told me the average family vacation to Disney to stay at Disney was over $7,000, I'd believe that.
Sure.
Yeah, that sounds right. Hell, you could tell me it's more even, and I believe it. But just the average American family vacation, people spend over $7,000. That seems high. Then number six, the final sign that you've made it, and you might not even realize it. You own instead of rent, and you have some equity in your home. You're not upside down in it.
That's true.
Yeah. Hey. So look at that, Lazo. We got one, two, three. Let's see. We really got two. It's two and a half. We got two out of the six. Maybe
what
three.
Does that make us middle
Maybe
class?
Three. Well, I don't know. I did find one that says, here's how you figure out if you're middle class. You want to know? It's Forbes. It's six signs that you're middle class. I mean, you can just look at the income. That's the important one. Typical middle class person, if you're making over $106,000, then I guess you're like, you know,
middle class.
You're doing upper middle class, maybe, because it looks like they're saying that the range anywhere from $35,000 to $106,000. Now, that was in 2022 when they did this, so it's been a few years. But there you go. Roughly half, 51% of Americans were middle income when they did this, and 30% were lower income, 19% were upper. So education, college degree is a sign that you are middle class. Mm. Your employment, that can help determine whether or not you're middle class. Like if you work at a place where your salary have a 401k, things like that. Okay. We have those, right? Yeah. Home ownership, again, okay. Savings, the average middle class household should have a savings of $7,400 in just cash. That was in 2022, according to the Federal Reserve. So, you know, okay, might be a little short on that one. But retirement.
Well, you could get it.
You could get there. Sure, yeah. You could get there. I mean, anything's possible. I could also take an $8,000 vacation. Mm-hmm. Anything's possible. Retirement. Middle class, has some sort of plan for retirement. I think it could be as simple as you have a 401k. Now, ideally, if you had some of that stuff spread around a little bit, it's even more of an indicator. But if you have some sort of retirement account, then that's a sign. So there you go. Yeah, see, told you.
Middle class.
Yeah, middle class.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. Where's Kalamazoo, Michigan? Is that where, isn't there a university in Kalamazoo?
Yeah, Western.
Oh, okay. That's not
Western Michigan.
Where's Michigan State?
Lansing.
Oh, Lansing, Michigan. Okay. How far away is Kalamazoo from where you grew up?
An hour. A lot of people go to college there.
So it's not that far.
Uh-uh.
It's pretty, almost like...
A lot of people I grew up with go to college there. You have directional school, Western, Eastern, Central.
So Kalamazoo's almost a suburb of Detroit. A city that big, if you're an hour out.
Yeah, they probably have their own radio.
Really? Okay, right. So it'd be like
Maybe further, yeah.
Okay, maybe a little further than St. Joe?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, a guy in Kalamazoo, I guess this is just coming out because they just put this in the news today, even though it looks like it happened last year. Maybe it's because, unlike Florida, the criminal records or whatever don't immediately get sent to the press. I'm not sure. But this guy from Kalamazoo, he's 19 years old. He's got a girlfriend. And her family decide they're going to go on vacation, okay?
Uh-huh.
They are going on a cruise, a carnival cruise.
Mm-hmm.
They do not invite him. Not only do they not invite him, they ask him to stay at the house and watch the pets while they're on this cruise.
Okay.
That doesn't seem so unreasonable to me. I mean, I don't know how long they've been together, but even if you're high school sweethearts and you've been together 3 or 4 years.
You're going to go on vacation with them.
Right. You don't have to go on vacation. You could. They certainly don't have to invite you.
No.
Now, if you had money and you're like, hey, I'm going to pay. But even then, that might be a little weird. They didn't invite you. Right. They didn't invite you. They're taking a family vacation. But this dude was butthurt about it. He was pissed. So what he did, because if you didn't want to watch the pets, he just should have said, I don't want to watch the pets. He sent an email to the cruise line saying that there was a bomb on the ship.
Ugh.
Yeah. So the email caused Carnival to have to check every single room. It's like over 1,000 rooms after the ship had already departed Miami. Go through every room looking for bombs, right? And I guess then the FBI gets involved because,
they trace the email.
Can't just do that. They trace the email. They figure out who it is. And they go, hey, Joshua, we know you sent the email. And he got sentenced to prison this week.
How long?
Well, let's see. How long did he get? He's going to get... I just saw it here. It's not very long. I want to say it was like 8 months or something. But I'm sure I'll get to it. He's sentenced to prison during an appearance in federal court. FBI traced it. Lowe apologized. Maybe it doesn't say in here how long he got sentenced to prison. Now I want to know because for some reason I thought it said 8 months. 8 months. There it is. 8 months in prison for making the threat. That's a pretty long time.
Yeah.
I saw that thing.
Like too much.
Like the people who do the swatting. Remember that guy who killing that guy in Wichita? Mm-hmm. Sent the guy to the wrong house and then ended up getting the guy killed, the whole thing. I mean, that I can see. Someone ended up dying.
Right, of course.
It's supposed to be a prank, but it's a prank. It's a bad prank. Like, it's a very illegal prank to do to begin with, even if no one gets killed. Then someone gets killed. I see you getting in trouble for that. So, because people can die when you swat someone, I could see them saying, hey, you swatted someone.
And they died.
Or even if they died, I can see even longer. But even if they didn't die, maybe like, hey, this is a serious thing. It's a serious thing. People die. 8 months, okay, maybe, send a message. Do you think that's too long? I feel like 8 months sounds like about what I'd expect for a nobody died swatting incident. It seems like a lot, actually. I'll just be honest.
It still seems like a lot.
But a bomb threat where nobody's injured sent to a cruise line because you're butthurt that your girlfriend went on a vacation without you.
8 months in prison seems like a lot.
That's a long time, isn't it?
Probation.
Probation. That seems good. 2 years... supervised probation. You come in once a month.
You're trying to make some sort of terrorist statement.
Right.
Right? You're just mad that your girlfriend went on a cruise without you. Like, it's a dumb, but it's not like... I guess I just don't see you being a threat to society outside of this.
I mean, you need to learn a lesson, but he apologized. He wrote a letter to the court. He apologized. He said, look, I take full responsibility.
Eight months in federal prison.
Yeah, 8 months in prison.
Oof.
I mean, prison in general. If they said that he got a month in prison, I'd be like, damn, for a bomb threat. Kids used to call bomb threats into the school when they didn't want to do homework. Yeah, when they didn't want to take a test. I don't know. Maybe they just got away with it back then, or maybe the punishment wasn't severe. I'm not sure, but I remember kids calling in bomb threats. I remember being evacuated from the school. We'd go stand outside. There's a bomb threat. Then we'd go back in the school. There's no way they could have actually checked.
And really, you know, I got it. It was a lot of work. Was it any different than pulling a fire alarm?
Right? I with the fire alarm, I could see a fine. This seems like a fine and probation. But if the cruise line says, hey, we had to check over 1,000 rooms, blah, blah, blah. Right. Maybe he has to pay some pretty steep fine. Maybe he has to pay a $15,000 fine, something like that. And, you know, he's making payments for the next however many years. But to go to prison for it, whew-wee. If you don't want to watch someone's pets, just tell them. I asked Snowcone to watch my pets one time. He's not in there, is he? I asked him to watch my pets one time.
Yeah, other people do it, right?
And he'd done it before. At least I thought he'd done it before, you know? And I'd give him money when I got back. And so I asked him to watch the cats. I asked him to watch the cats. So I wasn't asking him to stay at the house. And when I'm checking in on him, and I was going, oh, fine. And I asked a couple questions, and he wasn't really answering those questions. And I was like, you know, maybe he needs to go. He probably needs to go. He probably hasn't been in a day or two. And then when I got back, he tells me, hey, so-and-so has your keys. And I was like, oh, okay. So I text that person and say, hey, do you have the keys to my house? And then he says, no, somebody else has them.
Oh.
Now, that's somebody else. I don't even have that person's phone number. That's how little we know one another. I've met him, right? Seems like a nice guy. But he ended up getting the keys to my house, going into my house
and watching cats.
Yeah, or couldn't do it or whatever. But yeah, so well, I ended up.
As we said, we're looking for a new producer. Really, you just have to be better than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, take, like, look at that work ethic and be like, all right, so this is what I do. And be like, given those options, what would you do? Would you give the keys to someone that Slim doesn't know? If you do better than that, then feel free to apply.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. Okay, so I mentioned earlier the mobster who pretended to, Vincent Gigante, I think is his name,
right,
who pretended to be schizophrenic and just totally out of it for over 30 years so that he wouldn't be prosecuted.
Worked, huh?
Yeah. He went to a bunch of different doctors, and you know, he was forced to go to a bunch of different
How
doctors.
How do we eventually know that he never had it?
Because they eventually snapped some pictures. You know, I just watched that documentary, I don't know, within the last couple years, and they talked about that in the end. I think there was one doctor out of a few that was like, I'm not so certain. But the FBI was able to eventually snap some photos. I don't know if this was the proof that they needed, but they were able to snap some photos and I think tap some phone calls. They had some pictures of him where he's talking to someone and it looks like he's having a normal conversation. He's not in his bathrobe and slippers, which is what he would wear out on the street. And when he would go out there a lot of times to talk to associates, he'd put on the bathrobe, he'd put on the slippers, and he'd shuffle down the street like to acting like he's getting the newspaper. And sometimes, if I recall correctly, he would communicate maybe with associates in that moment. You know, they might be acting like they're holding his arm or whatever, helping him down the street to get the paper. And really, he's saying like, hey, you know, you need to send so-and-so to do this at this time. He did it for a long time. It's pretty impressive. So that's got to be like some sort of a world record. I mean, at least in modern history. We don't know about ancient history, but in recent history, that's an impressive con, the long con, and you're doing it for self-preservation is what it is, because prison's horrible. And
I also didn't know that they couldn't prosecute just because you have dementia.
I know, right? I don't know how bad it has to be. They talked about it in that documentary. Like, I think because the definition in the United States is, are you aware that what you're doing?
Yeah, you have the capacity, right?
Yeah.
And you, are you
to
aware
know the
of
consequences?
The, also, not that. Also, are you aware to of the trial?
Yeah,
like you understand.
Sure.
What's
can you stand
trial?
Trial? Right. Yes, can you stand trial?
But I would think they would have put him somewhere for a dementia patient.
Right, that you just end up in a hospital. Right,
yeah, that's
that's where you go. But
not that you just go home.
Right, not that you go in and out of the.
But I'll remember
bar.
That.
Yes, please remember that, and please remember not to talk on the phone in your normal voice.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Never ever have a normal conversation. Just leave the bathrobe on all the time.
Yeah,
the FBI's
and just,
watching.
You know, make up words.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Just keep shuffling all the time.
Right.
It's worth it to not go to prison. So this is different. This person wasn't...
Silly Billy means kill that dude.
Exactly.
Right.
Whatever.
Ah, Silly Billy.
Right.
Ah,
poor
Billy
guy.
Silly. That means kill him and his wife, right?
Poor
like,
guy.
Yeah, got it.
He doesn't mean anything by it. We don't know where he's getting the silly Billy. We don't even know a Billy. So this woman that just got busted, she wasn't trying to avoid prison. She was trying to avoid going to work, which I can also totally admire. She got attacked at work back in 2003. She worked at a grocery store, and she was attacked by a customer. And following the attack, she was diagnosed with PTSD. And because of the PTSD, she said that she lost her ability to speak, okay? And losing her ability to speak, I guess, meant that she qualified for disability. She gets some sort of disability pension. You know, it's hard to work. I can't talk, right? I have PTSD. So whether or not she ever lost the ability to speak or not, not totally clear, but I'm going to go with maybe not. But it's possible. It's possible that she lost the ability to speak and then just gained it back and didn't want people to know. But that's what she was diagnosed with back in 2003. PTSD, she can't speak, so now she can't work, she gets disability. But as the insurance company pays these things, of course, they're always looking into this stuff. And, you know, you automatically reapply. I don't know how the applying for the Social Security goes.
You can get disability for having, I don't want to get canceled, mental issues?
Yeah, oh yeah. Certain ones that qualify.
And they give you money.
Yeah. Now, it depends, you know.
Then how do we have a homeless crisis?
Right.
Isn't everybody getting money there?
You would think, right?
It depends. I mean, the dude I just talked about last week about driving outside my house in Detroit, the dude who peed his pants and the other guy who shadow boxed every day, I don't think they could work.
Yeah, you may have to.
I may be wrong.
I don't know about the drugs,
unless
though.
The guy could get a job at, you know, Kronk Boxing. I don't know. But other than that,
You may have to not have a drug problem. I'm not sure. I know that was the thing that was discussed for a long time, right? That they wanted people who were getting, and that's state by state, but certain states were saying, hey, if you're going to get benefits, you have to take a drug test or something. I don't know if that's what they do or not. Also, I know that depending on what type of you have to get a diagnosis, and depending on what type of diagnosis you have, that plays a huge role in how much money you can get. So if you have some sort of disorder and you've been diagnosed by a professional, you may get some money, but might not be enough to live on, though. Might not be enough to keep you from being homeless. So it varies greatly. This woman was in Spain, so I have no idea what they get paid there. It could be even more generous. But I do think that if you are diagnosed with... I wouldn't be shocked if you said that somebody here...
Got
gets
diagnosed
stacked at work,
with bipolar.
Got diagnosed with... Sure, like bipolar. Yeah,
right, they just
like
say
that.
Bipolar and they said, I can't work.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that they might be able to qualify for something. I don't know how easy it is or how hard. And the ADA, the Americans with Disability Act, says that companies, so even if they say, look, we're not going to pay you for not working, there are also things in the ADA that says your company, if you have some sort of, you know, diagnosis or disability, whatever, I'm trying to be careful what I say here, that qualifies, your company is supposed to make reasonable adjustments for you personally. So if you say, I have this, so I need, I mean, ADD actually qualifies. So if you say, I have ADD, I need this much extra quiet time a day or whatever, that they're supposed to make reasonable accommodations for you. I don't know that it's real clear about what reasonable is, but yeah. But to get enough money to just live, that's probably pretty hard, I would think. Like to actually pay rent or a mortgage or something and not be working at all, you probably have to be pretty severely... I'm trying to be careful.
All right, but disabled. Could you then qualify for housing?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
So you don't have a house, you qualify for housing, and then you get disability. Like, I'm just saying, there's a lot of, when I see it, I see a lot of homeless people around.
Yeah.
I had no idea that you could qualify for, so why aren't, instead of, you know, opening soup kitchens, why don't we open up a place that helps them fill out the paperwork?
Right, yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they do. It seems like that would be a way.
Yeah. I have heard of the
we could get four dudes together who all got disability. Now they could get a two-bedroom apartment.
Roommates. Yeah. I have heard of libraries doing that, that a lot of libraries spend. I think the Kansas City Library has like a whole floor that's the downtown Kansas City Library has a whole floor that's dedicated to stuff like that. That it's not even books. It's just like helping people fill out that kind of paperwork and stuff like that. So maybe they do, but I don't know what the requirements are. But this woman, she's attacked at the grocery store where she works, says she's got PTSD, says she can't talk. She's mute. And that's back in 2003. as the insurance companies go through this and look at this stuff and say, okay, you know, is this person really still, you know, disabled?
Right.
They decide there was something, they don't say what, but there was something that made them a little bit suspicious. Like maybe a doctor's visit. I know that one of the things that they later found was when they were looking through her records, she'd been seeing specialists that, you know, were supposed to help with her PTSD, and she hadn't seen those specialists in a while. So, you know, some sort of investigator comes out and was able to prove that this woman was able to speak normally. I don't know, you know, how long it took this person, but they were able to prove that she's able to speak normally and that she'd just been keeping this up since 2003 while getting these payments. And I thought, yeah, I could do that. I could do that. You know, whether it's the government doing it or, and I'll tell you this right now, this is not trying to be liberal or conservative. I'm not trying to be political here, but let's just be honest. If my money that I'm getting is coming from an insurance company because I had some sort of, like, you know, IEG, whatever, one of those insurance companies that says, you know, we'll help you if you're hurt at work.
Right.
If payments are coming from one of those companies, I know it's going to be more difficult. I know they're going to keep a probably better eye on me. If it's coming from the government, if it's coming from the government, they don't have the resources.
No,
right?
Yeah.
So now look, they could catch you, but I feel like my chances are much better if I qualify for something through the government than if it's the insurance company that's giving me this money. But either way, I'll try. I will try. I think I could keep it up.
I would
if
try.
If it meant, and I'm not saying that
I've seen people get caught, the insurance side. Like they send somebody out and, you know, they're like, oh, they can't walk. And then they collect pictures of them playing basketball.
Yeah, I've seen those like date lines or whatever where they show the 2020s, the undercovers. But I give it a shot. If it means, okay, you don't have to work. It's enough that you don't have to work. I'm not even saying that it has to make me upper middle class. If it's enough for me to pay rent and not work, yeah, I'll go out in public every day and pretend like I can't make vocal noises, like I can't talk, right? I'm fine with that. It's going to be a pain in the ass. We're all sitting here like, yeah, sure. It's going to be tough. You're probably going to have to learn sign language, honestly. I mean, you're going to have to carry around a pad and a pen when you go out to stores, wherever, you have to write this stuff down. It's going to be a real pain in the ass, but it's better than going to work every day. I mean, I think we can all agree that no matter what type of unforeseen annoyances I run into, or the amount.
Well, yeah, if you're just saying you got to act weird and lay around in a bathrobe.
Right, I mean.
Easy.
That, if every time I go to Target, I got to shuffle around in a bathrobe and house shoes and have somebody hold my arm.
Yeah.
Like I have dementia. You got it.
It.
If it means not working, you got it.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
That's it, man. We're done.
Yep.
It was a great day hanging out with you.
Yeah, I had fun.
Really, really did.
Yep.
Yep.
Well,
especially
see you
later. That part where you put your. That's, you know, always good on a Tuesday. Is it Tuesday or did you get off by a day?
No, it's Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. That's the day.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's the day we normally do it.
I put my money on Julio Rodriguez to hit a home run tonight if you're interested.
Is that your lock of the night?
Yep. Julio Rodriguez with a home run. I also put money on Ellie De La Cruz to hit a home run. So if you want to parlay those and get rich, kids. Go ahead and do it. Good show, Ellie. Stay positive.
The Church of Laszlo.